Let's start with the Shulchan Aruch. Start with Sif Aleph.
Did we read the Torah?
Okay. Okay. Of course, you finished all the Torah Kaf Hei already. That's a given. Judah, can you please do the honors? That belongs to the next siman. It's a nice bridge to siman kafei. If the mouse did not rest reside in the shechar or the chometz, may ace la ace. So then it's not what?
Kavush.
Not kavush, and therefore you don't have to worry about tam transfer. It is interesting, by the way, I don't remember how the Shulchan Aruch passed in Kohei, but we usually assume that the shear of 24 hours is the maximum shear, but if you put it in certain types of liquids, I remember it's sear for sure, then kavush happens much faster. So here you have chometz, and nonetheless the Mechaber says 24 hours would be what is required. So if it did not sit in the cold vinegar or cold beer for 24 hours, then there's no problem and you can eat the drink the beer or consume the vinegar. Aval. Okay. So the if there is a transfer of tam, then what is required is shishim. Now, then that is true, whether or not you removed it. And as you picked the mass up by the tail and took it out of the vinegar. Or it's the same thing if you can strain it, if it's cut up. But you can put it in the strainer so that you can get all the mamashas out. Or if the mass dissolved and there's nase skula mashka and there's no mamashas. Okay, I cannot see consuming the beer under those circumstances. Although I can't see consuming beer under any circumstances. So not just that beer.
But
so maybe that's not right. Maybe for the beer drinkers amongst you... you know, beer and mouse is a special delicacy. Except you can't taste the mouse. It's less than cheese. Fine. What is it? They stick a worm in vodka? So you stick a mouse in beer. That's all. Not vodka.
Tequila.
Sorry. You stick a worm in tequila. So you stick a... somebody can make that for Purim. You can make an image of the bottle of beer and with a mouse on it, you know. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, if it's a giant, like, bad beer, you could lose at least $1 from one mouse and no one can ever find your face.
Yes, and if you sell that vat of beer because of that with that mouse in it dissolved, and what, and you get found out, you lose many, many more millions of dollars than that.
All industries that have certain that are allowed are familiar to bug cards and that.
Yeah,
so
somebody found a finger in a human finger in a Coke can. I don't know if that's true or not, but it was turned out to be a fraud in the end.
But all, like if we looked at like all chocolates have like on average like 8 pieces of insects in it.
Okay, those pieces are like virtually microscopic, right?
Right. So the same with Nimua. So it's
okay, if someone told me that you had tiny, tiniest of analytes in my chocolate, which totally dissolved, it wouldn't freak me out. If someone told me a mouse dissolved in this large keg of beer, that would freak me out. Okay, I'm just...
What if it goes to the shredder or something? And now you can't find it at all.
Yum. I said dissolved. Anyway, fine. Now comes... So for the only thing of a novelty in the Mechaber here, as the Shach points out in the Katan Aleph, is that he made a distinction between achbar the davar and achbar the masa, but the Shach points out that a lot of other rishonim, don't seem to adopt that perspective. The Rambam and the Ritz and the Rush and the Tor and the Ravana, should leave that out. They don't mention anything else. They talk about stam and achbar. It makes no difference. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks that the Mechaber must be correct, And then, of course, if the Atma of the Davra is Meshubach with the Atma, it's Olah Shechamalcham, it can't possibly be Togen in liquids. I'm not really sure that's compelling, but I don't think it's very much Lamaisa anyway. All right, now the last part of the Mechaber. This is actually really, really important. We're not going to, because it's not going to come up Lamaisa in your life, we're not going to engage in a complete exploration, but I want us at least sort of start to talk about it for a few minutes. Now, when we spoke about it in Shir Steve, I think we didn't spell, there's more to talk about. Go ahead.
In Nachtach of Fatifos Dakos, the Hu the Indian Chino Yachol Zan of the Mountains are a Shezar O Hafomit and Wafa A Kol Hatzer and Shaman Bito. If you don't Shema, you've got in Mama Ben Mamasho Isser below Yardish.
Okay. So this is what's really, really, really hard. And we spoke about this a little bit. Obviously, this is what is the makor for this din? Imartute imartut. I'm just as afraid now that it's going to come out of my mouth wrong. So it's that line in the Gemara. And this is obviously Rashi. It looks like this is Rashi's shot. So the Mechaber says it has to be that you can't be misaning it because it gets mixed in with other things. But there's no bittul because we're afraid Shemi Yipogab on the Mashal Shemis of Layargus. So again, and to end, you know, fuel for the fire, as a couple of you, he's not here yet. Good to see Norma. I'm blanking. Mati, where's Mati? Not here at the moment. Okay, and they were hacking me, rightfully so. If you go to Sif Gimel for a moment, read Sif Gimel.
Read Sif Gimel. Barim from the Usim, Chenashach Adam Katzavah, and Malim, Zulvim, Vitushim, Chekot Adam, Bodam, Mehalim, Yusan, Afidu, Nisarbu, Vitavshav, and Nimcha, Gufam, Kasalto, Nima Hate Rabba, Allah, Mutarim, Komakom, Kosh, Asher, Lita, Kohavia, Musanis, Bodek, Musani.
So the question is there, one says, so why is that different? So the Ramah says it's the same din. You should be choshesh, the same thing that they might be noticing tam l'shvach. That's what the Ramah says at the end. So my question, I guess, is, what if you can't be bodeg, right? The Mechaber says it's a mutter as long as you can't be bodeg. And Mavir with the Misanenes. So the question is, why here in Sif Aleph, if you can't, in other words, why is it that if a Bedika of a Misanenes won't work, why is it that there's no Bittel? And in other words, granted, I grant you that it's, in this case, it's a Tashil of, so you can't sort it out, and the filter won't work, because the filter can't distinguish between the lentils and the Sheretz pieces. So why is it not Bato?
Why is it not, or why is it?
Why is it not Bato?
In Gimel?
Aleph.
Oh, and Aleph. Isn't that what we said? Because it's like a Sheretz. So that's what we talked about yesterday. So it's an Adasha.
Okay, so the problem is the following. The problem is that the Mechaber writes in the Beis Yosef, he writes that the same thing would be true by Pachos Meka Adasha.
Like maybe because you're still choshes that you're going to have the adasha kedei achila pras, but like you're not choshes that you'll have a kazai dove, whatever the other shards are.
Where are you getting this from?
I don't know, just this far.
The Aruch HaShulchan does, I think, try to advance some type of story like that, but the problem is the Ramah, I'm impressed. I know, you're afraid to answer that question. Where are you getting it from Mars? No, actually. Maybe it is from Mars, but somebody got there first.
Doesn't the
Israel
Hezer allude to that as well?
Does Ramah quote something?
The Taz Aleph. That's quoted, the Israel is quoted by the Taz. That like it might add together to be
where the press.
He quotes the Israel Hezer, but then the Israel Hezer, I think, says, like, I guess, like the Aruch Shulchan also says, that if you, it might add together to be the after that press.
He's far right. He's bothered by the Lisa question. Where in the Taz?
It says, it's like halfway through, and it says, I think that's a Mr. Hetzer called Kafkaid in bed, and you did have a
But I think in this record itself, it says the same thing regarding, like, it might add up to being cadet on rest.
Okay. So that's there's a Matthias assumption there. Yehuda?
I think I have a better answer. I think from the lashon, he's saying that even though you can't check the misnedet, it's nikar. If you're eating and looking at each spoonful you eat, you'll see a bug in at one point. That's a lechosh.
Right. So it's
right. Nimcha is like completely, it's not.
Right. Nimcha is dissolved, you can't identify it. And you can't strain it. In other words, what it means
you're not
is.
Gonna find, but like, you won't find an ant. Like, unless you really search hard, you're not going to find an ant in like a bowl of like soup.
Hold on. See, if you're talking about finding a small bug in a large thing where you could search and probably not find it, so that is batam and atar, and that's a chumra and beria. But right here, we're not talking about beria, you know, except for the a very common understanding of what Rashi said. We're talking about regular iser. And the suggestion is, and this is what the Or HaShofan claims, and he thinks the Rama doesn't disagree with this, is that you're actually talking about, in other words, the iser is considered nikar. A filter doesn't work because there are other large globs in it, you know, whether it's the lentils or whatever else. But you can actually take out a spoonful and you can say, oh, that's a lentil, that's a bean, that's an ant. Or that's a piece of mouse. And therefore, it is not considered bittel if you can be makir it right now.
So nothing to do with the fact that it's a sheretz. Like
not that it's a sheretz per se. Because remember, the Mechaber himself in the Beis Yosef says, La daka chadasha, even pachos pe chadasha, because chatzi shir sdena Torah. And presumably the same thing would hold. The same thing would hold by a kazayas, by regular iser as well, if that were the nature of the iser, where you had pieces that you could be makir, but you can't filter it, but you could look at it, a spoonful, and you could identify it. He wants to say, when the Ramah comes along and says, the dafka sheretz, So many understand, the Shach understands, the dafka sheretz, why?
Because it's
a beria, and there seems to be some type of a chumra on the din derabbanan in a beria, that because a sheretz chilas b'riyaso is kadasha and it's a unique thing, that we treat any adasha of a beria as a beria. Any adasha of a sheretz as a beria. The Taz, I see, rejects it. The Aruch HaShulchan rejects it because the obvious reason, which is mehechetesi, that something that's not whole is a beria. It violates the entire rule of beria. So, but the Shach understood it. But the Aruch HaShulchan says, no. He says, you know, so why, and the Aruch HaShulchan is an interesting taina. If, in fact, the Shach is correct, that the Ramos din is based upon specifically the din of Sheretz and an Adasha is treated like a beria. So forget the fact that it doesn't work for the Beis Yosef, because he says explicitly less than an Adasha. He doesn't say it in the Shulchan Aruch, but he doesn't say an Adasha either. He just says, Mamasha Shalisser. But there's something else very important missing from the Ramah. What's missing from the Ramah? His intent was, you know, a beria because it's Jira Dasha, yeah?
It has to be Kedasha. The piece has to be Kedasha.
He doesn't mention that, but even more so, there's another issue. Let me ask the following question. Supposing you have crushed ants. What quantity of crushed ants do you have to eat to be chayav? What? Somebody, what did somebody say before that? Speak now. Who opened his mouth and said Kadasha? No, you don't have to say. Somebody, I heard Kadasha unless I was hearing things. You don't have to say. Whoever you were, you have amnesty. Don't worry. No penalty. No. Kazayas is the correct answer, David said. Why? Kadasha is a unique din within the Shemona Shratzim. It's almost a byproduct of the Tumah. The Tumah, which is Bechadasha, and Afila, therefore, is Kadasha also. It doesn't apply to any other Shratzim. You know, Risei Tisha Nemalim, and you would tzarif it to a Kazayas, so then you're chayav when it's a Kazayas. Otherwise, if it's whole, then that in the Raisa Beria is when you eat a whole ant. But if it's not whole, if it's ant pieces, you know, ant parts, so then you have to eat a kazayas. So if the Ramah in fact held that this was a din of beria and it's a shir kadasha, so somebody said he shouldn't have mentioned kadasha, and he shouldn't have just said sheretz, he should have said dafka b'shmona shretz. So maybe you'll say, ah, that's what he meant.
What's that? When we've been saying sheretz throughout this simon, have we not been referring to shmona shretz?
We have. But in the context of the Gemara only speaks about an achbar, which is one of the Shmona Shvatzim, and it talks about the various dinim that are associated with it. But the Gemara doesn't say generically Shvatzim. We've just sort of been swept into, oh yes, Sheretz. But maybe not. Maybe not. In other words, in the context of that Gemara, it's true. It's talking about one of the Shmona Shvatzim. But the Ramah should not have said the Dafka B'Sheretz. Especially since we know about Nemalim, you know, it's going to be mentioned later in the Siddur. The Mechaber is going to talk about the Zevuvim and Nemalim and Yitushim, and all those are a din of like Sheretz Ha'aretz or Sheretz Ha'of or something like that. So it really behooved the Ramah to have said something if he only meant the Shmona Shvatzim, if it was a din specifically in Beria. Yeah.
But, I mean, he seems to be taking this psak from the Rashi, which is clearly talking about, so like, it's clearly talking about a Sheretz, one of the Shmona Shvatzim, so it seems that it has to be. Also, when he would have said later on.
So you were come to defend your, my great ancestor, the Shach. Okay.
Right.
In a moment of multiculturalism. Okay. So you were defending what the Shach's position would be. Why does he insist upon that? Because you're right. The sourcing of the Ramah is from the Rashi. It's a no-win situation. I tend to think that the Shach is correct.
I think it makes more sense than like the Shulchan Aruch.
Well, no. I think that the Mechaber, you have to talk about, Mechaber has clearly a different understanding of Rashi. If he's working with Rashi's pshat, but he's working with Rashi's reading of the words, but not with Rashi's, if Rashi means Beria, that's clearly not what the Mechaber is working with, because he says explicitly in the Beis Yosef, Pachos Mika Adasha. And even when he formulates it, he talks about, because if there's Mamash or Shalisser, not if there's a Chadasha Shalisser. So I think that even though one might reject the Aruch HaShulchan's reading of the Ramah, you still have to explain what the Mechaber sheet is, and I think what Gail said is probably correct. Which raises sort of a more fundamental question, which we have kind of danced around, and we may only dance around. But, again, the first thing we see from the Aruch HaShulchan in this Siman are actually very important. And just in terms of sort of conceptually laying down what it means to be the Tarobas. You know, he says that Tarobas has to be that neither the Isser nor the Heter is Nikar. If the Isser is Nikar, then, of course, it's also you have to take it out and remove it. You can't say you're allowed to eat it. He says, if the heter is nikar, whatever heter is nikar is not mitzarek to be mevatel. He said, if you have 10 pieces, and one of them is iser, but nine of them you can, 8 of them, in case, 11 pieces, 9 of them you can identify what they are, that they're heter, you can't say that mitzarek to the bittel. Right? We encountered this where, initially?
The Tainim.
Yes, by the Tainim, where it's Choros and Levanos, right? Which is a bizarre position, but it only works within a world that's the Rabbanim. Right, where minatora chay betrei batel, so the chumra of meya by chumra, so ashkoros malas and salavanos alonos malas ashkoros according to Rabbi Yeshua, I think. Not true, because the Gemara then immediately quotes the reverse about the chavios, the pumim and so on. Right, so the one Rabbi Lezer chumra, what is Yeshua chumra? That's what I was trying to remember. Akiva adopts the compromise position, which is the one we accept, that only things that are bechalal the suffix, meaning if you don't biyadua. They're not mitzarek. It's any of the whether the fig that fell in was shchor or levana, so then you can all them on mitzarek, right? And it still makes sense. I'm not even sure you need to say this, but mitzarek, it's already batel because it's batel berov yavesh yavesh idol. But that really is an essential rule, Rabbi Akiva's principle, that only things that are bechlal b'safek are mitzarek to the bittel. So if only two pieces are b'safek, the two of them you can't identify, one is this and one is that, your whole kula, you know, the whole bittel flies out the window. So we saw, that's obvious. The next question, and that's what he explains is going on here, that I take a spoon of this rotev, and, oh, nice looking piece of mouse there. He says, so the Aruch HaShulchan wants to say in the Ramah, the reason why he says sheretz is because sheretz looks totally different. You know, besar behema between either nevelin and ksher, obviously you can't tell the difference. And even if you're talking about mintar, you might not be able to tell the difference. But sheretz, again, I have never investigated and looked at mouse flesh, looks totally different. So you open, you spoon in, and you say, oh, nice mouse. So here, but that's one step. The next question is the following. You remember the Ramah said that if fat chela falls into your soup, and you have shishim, what are you supposed to do? Cool the soup, and then let the fat congeal on top and skim it off. That which you can remove, you remove. And we don't accept the Bach's position that you can do that even when you don't have shishim. Right, we're not saying efshel l'softo z'morte, but we're saying chayv l'softo even after you have bittel. So if you can remove the chayla, you remove the chayla. The question, let's say the isur is not nikar. You can't look at this taroves. You can't look at it and say, oh, that's a mouse piece. But you know what you could do? You could run this through a strainer. And if you run it through a strainer, guess what you're going to find? Pieces of mice. So the question is, right now you can't see it or identify it. Is that called Nikara Issa?
Yes.
How much are you hired to spend on this? Like, you could run it through a centrifuge and get out anything. Precisely identified by weight of the molecule, which is weight. But that costs more than the value of the entire dish.
Some of you don't have to run it through a centrifuge. Where the line exactly is, I'm not going to tell you.
So
but let's go back.
The price of the dish.
What?
The price of the.
I'm not sure it's that either. But let's say it means you have a misananas in your kitchen. You run it through the misananas.
Is there going to be a case like that where you're filtering, you find things that you weren't able to see before?
So I'll tell you where that may come up. It depends. Someone asked me whether I drink New York City water, tap water. So the answer is I do. What?
He's never been to Shear, so we know that.
What? I've done that in Shear.
You mentioned in Shear several times.
Yeah, okay. So I mentioned Shear. What did you say several times?
That you think it's okay.
Right. I mean, I say, you know, I'm afraid of protein deficiency. No, but seriously, so I look in the water. I've taken cups of water with the Soul Contra Zeros. I spend my time looking. No copepods in my water. Now, maybe there are copepods, but then it means they're invisible to the naked eye.
Right.
The question would be, let's take that as a given. I think if nobody has put a cup of water here, you're probably not going to see any copepods. There are two possibilities. Again, one. Either they are none, which is my, or none that are really visible in there, or maybe there are, but you can't see them. You know, because they're, so the question is, and let's say they're too small to see, you can't see them, and normal human beings can't see them. And now, let's say you run it through a filter, you run out of this big jug of water, you run it through a filter, and guess what? The filter filters out, and you find some of the particulate matter. It might not even be shleim at that point, I don't know, but the question, even if it's not, let's say you knew that not a single copepod survived fully intact. Everyone lost a leg at least, okay? Or Nachash Melech Bnei Amon put out the right eye of each one of the copepods. So now the question is, are you mechuyev to strain? Are you mechuyev to filter it?
If you can't see it.
But I know it's there, and I can filter it and get it out. When I filter it, I see the accumulation of copepod flesh.
How are you going to filter it and get it out?
If I have a large enough amount of water, and I filter it...
Filters
can do it. You know, that's not hard to find filters that would filter particulate matter.
If you can't see it with your eye... Then
not one copepod, but when I have 100 copepods that, you know, get strained by the filter, then I see the gook of copepods. And then now you're going to say you're not going to drink New York City water anyway until it's filtered, because I don't really know. I never tried to explain, but the question is, so Yehud is asking a sort of that question, but he's making me crazy about it, which is, where's the line? All right? In other words, I'm asking the more basic question. Let's assume, let's say it's Bikal, to filter it, am I Mechuyev to do so? So that's an important question. Another way of asking the question is, when the Mechaber says, at the end of Sif Gimel, what does that mean? Is it mamish aser? Or it's a good thing you should do it?
Letter.
Okay, I don't know for sure. It's possible. I also, the other question you have to ask is, is there a difference between something which you actually, you couldn't see even before it was mixed in, versus something that you could see that was Nikar's Isser before it fell in, and now it fell in, got ground up into many pieces, and now you can't actually identify the pieces. So that's there are other questions with the water as well. You have to decide whether the copepods are also in the first place. And it's a separate question. It's not every share it's a mine is also, so that's a discussion. But I'm more interested in the Bittel aspects. You know? And by the way, the reason why I said a Machmir is because of Beria. But I'm raising the question, let's say there's no Beria. Let's say, as I said, you know that every copepod is missing a limb. Nonetheless, if I could filter them out, would I be mechuyev to do so? Yes.
What about things that you can't tell the difference between the thing and things that are much? Like, I think it's pretty fair to say normal human beings can't tell the difference between thrips and strawberry seeds. They look almost identical.
Between
thrips and strawberry seeds. Pips are a type of bugs that infest strawberries.
Yeah, I've looked at strawberries, I can never see bugs.
Yeah, because the seeds look almost identical to pips. If it's special training, like after a few hours of practice, you can start to tell the difference without a lens between pips and strawberry seeds. But it takes a few hours of practice and being taught how with a lens to tell the difference. So do you think you need to check the thrips on strawberries? You'll say they're buttel with the strawberry seeds, you can't tell the difference if they get out.
I think you can eat strawberries. Yes.
Without washing them, making sure they're no thrips?
Well, I think you should wash the strawberries off, but I think after that, you know, not just for other reasons.
Because they're
buttel
with the other,
yeah.
Even though they're berry.
What's that?
When you say they're berries,
they're not there. I look at the strawberry, I can't see them.
But you can see them. See lots of strawberry seeds. Some of the strawberry seeds
I can't see anything
grapes,
that looks like a bug.
But some of them are bugs. And if you look at the blend, you'd know for sure that some of them are bugs that look like
berry.
Things.
Why wouldn't you say berry?
Berry doesn't mean that. In other words, all foods have bacteria in them.
Yeah. Entire, like,
but they're invisible to the naked eye. The answer that doesn't count, therefore. So. Anyway.
I would say
that the berry of Obatelas have been Darabanam. And with any real suffix, it's mukta.
Yeah, but just because someone can see it,
normal people can't see it. You look at it, even you look at it, you don't see it. I still don't believe they're there. So
I can show you.
If I really believe they were there, I probably wouldn't do this.
If you would like, I can show you. Take some strawberries and wash them. Get a lens, and I'll show you them, and you'll see after a while, you'll stop being recognized on the house lens.
Stop eating strawberries.
But does that mean that he would be Mechaya to be checking
been
it?
Trained, what if
you've
been trained,
you
practice it
then you would be able to deal with it.
Yeah. I don't know. So, but there's another issue here also. As you mentioned, the Aruch HaShulchan has a long discussion about these bugs in the flower called, what do we call them? Milin? I forget what they're called. He has a term for them. And the Aruch HaShulchan's starting point, obviously, is what? It's mutter. Right? If it's easy to strain, you know, those who are more careful will look at them. If they can see them, they'll remove them, right? But outside of that, it's mutter. So there is a general problem with a practice that's being done for a long time. I'm fairly confident about this. The strawberries have always had these. And Jews have probably eaten strawberries for a fairly long time. And they haven't been, you know, removing these. And therefore, it's mutter, and the only question is why. And when you're dealing with something that's a beria, a shayla of beria, which is a vidurabanan, so the answer is it's clearly mutter.
Why can't we go the other way around and say we've eaten them for a long time because we haven't had lenses? I mean, you know. Now that we have lenses and we know,
because if behemtam shel tzadikim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not maybe takala yadam, so kal vachomer tzadikim atzam. What the Aruch HaShulchan writes is very, very important. I think people forget that. In order for you to say that these strawberries contain are usher, you're being motzi laz al rishonim. You have to be very careful about that. Yes.
Two-part question.
And the only argument you would have, which is not applicable here, would be if the Metzias has changed. The Metzias hasn't changed. If anything, we have fewer bugs than they did.
Maybe could they become usher? Because now we can recognize
that. Again, here's the story. If all of us just looked and we looked at the strawberries and all of a sudden we saw them, I might be tempted to agree with you. But given the efforts you need to go through to identify them, the answer is no. It's the same thing with the copepods. If you said that nobody had bothered to look at the water, but you hold a cup of water up to the light and you see all those copepods swimming there in large numbers, then I would probably agree with you. But the problem is I picked up the cup of water and I can't find a single copepod. Now, could you put me through training? Yes. You know, you can also train people to sniff almost as well as dogs, believe it or not. Humans have remarkable factory capacities that we've forgotten about, but actually you can be trained. Maybe not quite as dogs, but actually quite remarkable. Also, human beings can do echolocation, can be trained to do so, remarkably so. However, that's not in the capacity of normal people. Now, it's a little easier probably to teach you to find these bugs, but most people look at this and say, what are you talking about? Where are the bugs? David.
Does this differ from like the bugs that you had in like the lettuce that
So I would say the following. When it comes to the difference between, if you ever looked at bugs and lettuce, again, I'm not so machmir there, not on the bugs. You're supposed to clean the lettuce, but with bugs I found lettuce, aside from the dark ones, which are the easy ones to spot, you actually can see the bug. It's just hard, it's camouflaged against the lettuce. It's not quite the same as something which is so small that the reason why you don't pick up the bug on the lettuce is because of the coloration. The reason you don't pick it, it's not the size function. Here it's literally, it's almost not near a slain ayin. Yes.
According to the Arab explanation of the Ramah, so this would apply to all Yisurim in which are able to somehow separate.
Which you can identify when you look at the spoonful of stuff. You can say, oh, that sheretz, that sheretz, that sheretz.
So you have to be able to, meaning you have to first be able to see it, meaning just because you could you run it through a sieve and somehow separate things.
Right, so that I don't think that is certain. This, I would argue that in the issue of imartute imartut could be well in Issa Daraisa. I suspect that not what you can't see it right now, but if you were to run it through a sieve, you could find it, you know, bodeku masanein, if it's usur, if it's not just a recommendation, but it's usur, that's probably usur midrabanan. Probably usur midrabanan.
So are we differentiating between Shmurah Shratzen now and...
No, I'm not making the differentiating between Shmurah Shratzen.
Why would one, why is one of the rights?
One you can look at the Taroves right now and you see the Isser.
Oh,
so there's no Taroves. Fundamentally, it's not called the Taroves.
If you can't see it, you
can't see it, but you could do something to ultimately bring it out, so that's a different story.
Okay.
You know, which arguably, Yehuda, you could make construct the argument that it's, that for me, it's either Mutter or most of the Rabbanon to eat those strawberries. For you, it's an Isser
D'oraisa. Well, no. I've probably forgotten that.
Okay.
I could try.
The shach, I think
I find it amazing that people can find these things and argue against prohibiting them, but they can't investigate kelim and know that they're not bolea and be stomach upon it at the same time. yes.
So the shach, I think, acknowledges the spirit in the Shulchan Aruch and says that in Yandina that we seem to say that whenever it is. Yeshar, the son of Noah, then you say that it's
Mutter. What shach are you talking about?
At the end of shach, you know?
He acknowledges the steer.
One second. Hold on. No, the shach says, the solution... I don't know, really, the solution, there's a very simple solution, of course, between the seer, between later and now. If you say the Mechaber is only talking about the Shemona Shvatzim, and that's talking about other Shvatzim, it's very simple. That's the assumption I think he's working with here.
Although later on...
Those are not Shemona Shvatzim.
Why would you assume he's only talking about Shemona Shvatzim when in the Bei Yosef he clearly wasn't? Where's the shach?
He's really working. He's working within the Ramah here, but later it's the Mechaber. When
I'm
he
saying.
Makes reference to later, it's the Mechaber.
Right, so
but does the shach himself ever say that the Mechaber is talking
about the
Shemona
Shvatzim? He doesn't say the Feirush.
That the Mechaber is only talking about
Shemona Shvatzim. For the Ramah, he says it, not the Mechaber.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay.
So then it might not be. Okay. So we're saying at the end, so the shach is just talking about not Shemona Shvatzim.
He does acknowledge, by the way, he does quote the Beis Yosef. Let me read the shach, Sitkat and Gemon. V'dachka b'sheretz eishlachosh. Dat v'garsim et erbasur da v'dazari bayin hu nachal agochal lamay. Amar le'rav hillel l'ravashi hava uvda be'rav kana basur rav kana. Amar le'yahu imartute imartit. U'peirush rashi shenechtach hachatichos dachos kitanos v'sheretz shiur kadasha kitomaso v'chayshinan vilma boleya hachatichos sheretz v'hadei chomitz v'kakosav ravonu mordechai magudu l'shon v'kakosav yisur heter aval aran kosav al'peirush rashi tema lama hutzros l'zeh. So maybe you're eating that. The tukasha and the abrim misenen. It's for this tree. Why don't you pass it through a filter and then you solve the problem? Ad kan l'shono. The lokasha midi d'vada b'shari surim came in the same time with gamu in kain leka mishum taima. The gam mishum kufei leka the bata buro came in she'enu makiro. The ma'ishlam yavish b'yavish. Af al gad the shelo b'mina b'yavish kaimel b'shishim. He says you don't even need shishim kineged the chatichos of davar hapogmin because there's no problem of tam. You only need rov. Umasha kasav the liavrim misenus for this tree. Umasha hikshav the liavrim misenus for this tree. Yeshlomer the heinikum asha kasav ator beis yosef she neptach beinon shein liyachol levaru v'misenenes kigon sheyachometz meur v'machal av behilkach sheretz kevin mishir v'chadasha lovatel dahave kimo beria. כלומר, שקסה ויסר היתר שם, אחי, מה שמדע סתור, שלא קסה דין דנחתך לחתיך וסקטנס, ואין יוכל לבר, אלא הוכה גבי אטבר, ולא בשער יסורים, ולא ישתמת שום פוסק, דייכתו כן בשער יסורים. In other words, he thinks that this is unique to Akbar, meaning Shemana Shatzim. You know what the word means, Ishtamit?
It's like to
slip away and get an opportunity. When you're Mishtamit, you get out of someone's grasp, you're free. So at no point did the Tana, or you could even say the Tana, slip up and write this by Shari Surim. Right. In other words, nobody at any point let go of the possibility of applying this principle by Shari Surim. That's what would appear. Which doesn't fit with what he wrote in the last Sith. He thinks the Ram would disagree with the Din. He just doesn't understand what Rashi is saying, because why shouldn't the Mesanedis work? That's the last Mechaber. And he doesn't explain the theory of the Mechaber.
But is the implication that the Rosh was talking about a case where it's not buried yet? Because it's a legal school.
Yeah. The last part, they're not concerned about buried. It's not whole anymore. And it's not a sheretz. It's not a sheretz.
So we're assuming that that's how the Shafi
is. So that is how he reads. What he does with the fact that the Mechaber has already said, no, I don't know. He doesn't explain. I don't think he explains later either. Okay. Fine. So now, continue. Did you read the Ramah?
I didn't read the Ramah yet.
So that's really the crucial question. To what extent does the ability to filter something have an impact, midaraisa midarabanan, if it's not Nika right now? And to what extent is it required? Clearly it's required on some level, right? The Ramah requires that you congeal the fat out. And the Mechaber strongly suggests, it's not clear, it's Bechuyim, that you're Bodek or Masani. Right? And it's implied here also that there are many of the situations where if you're Bodek or Masani, it's required, but the whole question is, what if it's Epi actually Lidok or Masani? So the question remains, what about an Issu that was never Nikkor in the first place? What about an Issu that even in isolation you wouldn't be able to see because it's so small? Right? That's not true about the Chalakim. It's not true about the imartut, there you can see the pieces if you even without pulling them out. So that's the question.
That's the difference between Hafen Gimel?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes, I think that's clearly the difference. Right? In Aleph, it depends who you're talking about. For the Shach, the difference between Aleph and Gimel is Aleph is Shemona Shratzim, and Gimel is not Shemona Shratzim. Okay. And it's Iyashar Lasani. But the Aruch HaShulchan says no. He says that Aleph is a case where you could actually be makir the Issa right now. And there's no difference between Shemana Shratz and other things. The case later was when Nimchu. But maybe a piece was left over, which you're not going to see, but you might catch in a filter. Okay. Now read the Ramah. V'dafka.
V'dafka v'shir en yishakosh im nishar sham shalom yukha shalom yukha shalom tiyo. V'shari yisirin en lachosh.
Fine. Bays. Fine. The safek, the first din is really a safek, whether b'shichron chala it's no same time as shvach or not. But in yayin and shemen or shamashkin, the mechaber says it's pogim. Yes.
So what would this say if I think like I know kilo or day? Would that be fine? Because it's probably half of a shishir.
Well, I was going to say the real question is there shisha? So besides the no point, is the kilo worm alive or dead?
I just think it's
all high. I have no idea. Okay. If it wasn't when it went in there, by the time it drank someone's tequila, it's dead.
So can you just move the worm and just be fine?
So the answer is, I would guess it's about the bashishin. What is the purpose of the worm and tequila? For entertainment or to show you that it's genuine tequila?
What is a tequila worm?
What?
It's marketing.
Who said marketing? Are you in Sci Sims or in Yeshiva College?
I Googled it.
What? I would expect David to say that, you know. Okay. Fine.
So,
what's an insult?
Don't we say it's not the
What's that?
It's not bad, though. Wouldn't we say it's not the
Probably. Except for, then why do they put it in there is why I'm asking.
Because it looks cool.
Okay, if that's the answer, then it's probably no some time with Tanya.
Unless we say Chazuta built it.
What?
Unless we say Chazuta built it.
No, there's no Chazuta once you take it out.
Once you take it out, not
okay, but if they're doing it for advertising purposes, obviously people aren't like what's the phrase they use that...
you're also not going to taste the worm. It's not that, you know, not such a lot of moist, but nice. Well, personally, I wouldn't drink tequila with a head worm in it, even if it's a mocha. I think if I drank tequila, I still wouldn't drink with a worm in it. Well, this is a worm. Okay. Anyway, so your statement is only half correct. The fact behind it is correct, but whether that temperature would hold true even if I did. Okay. Anyway, what does the Rama say?
The Rama says,
it should be mutter. It should be mutter. And now he's going to quote a Yesh Machmirim. What's this? So the question is, and what does he say in the Yesh Machmirim? It's a very important shach, Sifkat on Dalit. What does he say, and what does Ramah say? When will it be mutter? When Yesh Machmirim or Shuman? Shuman, yeah.
Midi
yom yom. Okay, so why is it? So firstly, even if you find, even if the shuman is congealed in front of us right now. So maybe, if you assume that that's the way the achbar spent its time, so then really you shouldn't have to be noted a klipa around it, a klipa of the shumum. But the concern is that the shumum was once originally viscous, and it came in contact, all parts of the shumum came in contact with the mass. He says, even if the shishim in the kedei of shumum, it's still usser. Why? Why would it still be usser? The shishim, so what? Who cares? There are two concerns, by the way, with the achbar and the shumum. But one of them would be less of a problem. One of them is kavush, and if kavush is a concern, shishim is enough to be matas. The fear is that the shumum was moist, it was viscous, and the mouse fell in and hung out there dead 24 hours in there. Then kavush kemahushal, and if you don't have shishim, it's aser. But there's another concern, which even goes beyond shishim, which is you keep pouring the hot fat in. So why is it aser then? Why is shishim not enough? But you guys read this. Why is shishim not enough? I think the Mechaber would categorically disagree with this statement, even if he thought vadai that achbar b'shuman is no Saint Hamashvach. What? I think it's the chatichan asas de vela. When you're initially pouring the shuman in, so then it comes in contact with the achbar when it's roteach, that shuman is nesar, and it's not just baluah from the achbar, the shuman itself is nasas de vela. So you don't know how much shuman actually was nesar independently. When it's bishlama, if you knew that the achbar fell in and when all the shuman was there, and whether the shuman was hot or was liquid and it sat for 24 hours, so then you can say, if the tam transfers, it transfers at once, and therefore you can use shishim. But if it only is happening piecemeal, you could have chanas. If you held like maran, so then it would be irrelevant, because it wouldn't matter, because it's like a davar lach, right? A chaticha in Simen Kufav, which we all know, even though we've never learned, so we know that once a chaticha is nesar, it's not chosel letero, even though you don't say chanan. But the shuman is a mashken effect. It's distributes the talam. So according to the Mechaber, even if initially you're pouring a shuman, and all the shuman's aser, because it's not enough to be mevatel the achbar, but eventually you're pouring enough hot shuman, and the talam of the achbar distributes throughout. So if you have shishim, according to the Mechaber, even if it were no Saint Talmud Shvach, it would have been mutter with shishim. Casting.
You mean that you're pouring it all as a continuous flow? Or you're
no,
here,
no,
or
no. Well, I'm not going to get into that question, but here you're pouring day after day, midi yom yom. Right? A little today, a little tomorrow, a little the next day,
so
and so
that's why the first part you pour, then becomes awesome.
Awesome, and
Hatikan
Asas Tevela, and then you need shishim to get that.
What if you just poured the whole thing?
A continuous pour?
But it would slow continuous pour, but there's no gap.
You want to have fun. What might that depend upon? Although I'm not sure it's true. Uh, Come on, some of the Qumran scholars here should know this.
I
know. Nitzav Kechibor.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All
right.
What?
Scholar.
Sam, have you learned all the Shas Mishnayos?
Not yet.
Have you learned Yadayim?
Everyone has that Mishnah Yadayim.
Really? Everybody? How many have you learned that Mishnah Yadayim? Oh, that's everybody. I see. They're almost about, you're not about the Bashishim, but you know.
Everyone is taking the classical Jewish history.
Yadayim is probably the most interesting Masechta in certainly all of Seder Taros. right? It has the Sadducee Pharisee arguments, and it's got the Tumas Yadayim stuff, you know, of Kisei HaKodesh. So really, it is by far, you know, for a Seder that is an unbelievably difficult trek through, on lesser days we'd call it a slog, Yadayim is sort of like, whoa, this is interesting, in a really fun way. So, anyway, I'm going to leave that question aside. I'm not interested in exploiting the Chibur right now. At some point we may touch upon it later in the year, not this specific case, but, yes. Yeah.
So, what is the Ramban's case about Shuban?
Yes.
But what's the case of,
what happens is the following. You come in, and you see in your bowl of fat, of shuman, oivein is a dead mouse right in the middle.
And it's
yeah, it's something that might be, right now he's assuming something that might be, in other words, it's something which is a suffix, it might be. In other words, we're talking an achbara de besa. No, that's a question. It's a focus whether in Shuman it's not Saint Thomas Shach and it's not Gan.
Oh, Shuman is like
Sheikha? Maybe. It's not Machlokas. It's not Machlokas. That's the whole point.
So there should be something to say. Yeah, Safek is whether it's not Machlokas in anything. And then
Safek
whether it's not
Machlokas. Ah, so hold on. So the Shach asks a question. So let's read on. The Ramah says then, V'yesh Safek Shem Achbar Hei Hashem Kshiru Hashem Rotech HaKol Asura Afili Yesh Shishim Hashem Lekhe Kol Achbar V'im Lo
V'im Lo Yir Olav Oshkiru Olav Yedula Shalo Yeh Hashem HaAchbar Kishukah Shehir Olav V'shim Lim Ba'al Lefaninu Shul Kasher.
So one scenario, if they didn't pour on it, or you know when you poured the Shuman there was no mouse, and now it's Kasher Lefaninu, or if you find Jistam find Nimtza Achbar, go ahead,
V'chein Nimtza HaAchbar Olav Sagi Lekhen Tios Makom
So you're not mistopic, and so you weren't ma'are. If you weren't ma'are, and you've come and you find the mouse in the shuman, and it's a suffix whether or not the shuman, the achbar fell in while the shuman was still soft, so kavosh kimavushal, and asers everything, or it fell in when it was hard already, and it only asers maybe kedei klipa. So it's mutter. How?
The mutter mikoach sveik sveika. Safeg. Safeg nafal sham kshehaya kasher v'nimtza lomar kshurach shema iskasher kodem shir.
Okay. Two questions have to be asked about the sveik sveika. Number one. Well, one about the sveik sveika and one about the Ramah. Is this a sveik sveika? It bears a little bit of resemblance to the Sfeik Sfeik of Chadash. Maybe not the same, but a little similar. What's the suffix?
Maybe Chadash is
impossible. No, forget that. What's the suffix
it's
here?
Two times that one, it could have been Kasha.
Right. In other words, the suffix is did it sit 24 hours in loose Shuman or not? Now, two ways that might not have happened. If it was Kasha before the Achbar fell in, or even if it wasn't, if it solidified before 24 hours. How is that? This is a fake sphaika.
Kach
hikshah aruch hashulchan.
I mean, at the end of the day, you could turn all sphaikas into one sphaika. You know, did this happen in another way?
No. But here,
and either it wasn't another way, or it didn't happen.
I would argue the other way. You can turn every sphaika into a fake sphaika, but not every fake sphaika can be turned into a single sphaika. Other than sphaika, whether it's mutter or aser. Right, that's obvious that I could do it. Very straight, straight, can't do it.
I'm saying that's what you just did here. Right? Did it sit 24 hours in the mixture or not?
That's the suffix. That's the only suffix. There are two ways it might not have sat 24 hours in the mixture. In essence, it's just a question of
either
the time.
Either there was no mixture or there was
The mouse fell into this shuman. And the question is, how long has the mouse been? How long was the mouse in moist shuman? The answer is somewhere between zero and, in other words, it's either zero, or even if it wasn't there zero, it wasn't there 24 hours. So the answer is going to be is that it's too fundamentally, even though halachically it may not matter, and it's really a chronological question, there are two different scenarios here. Either the mouse fell into solid shuman or liquid shuman, and even if it fell into liquid shuman, maybe it didn't spend 24 hours there. Okay. And one of the questions you would ask is, well, fine. So that's question number one. Maybe answered. Question number two. If the Rama only requires a sfeik sfeika, why is one suffix not sufficient here? Because it's a suffix in the first place. What is the din? Whether achpera be shuman is nursing talmuf gam or not. If it's nursing talmuf gam, everything is mutter. We don't care how anything happened, what sequence, how much, hot, not hot, and so on. So why don't we say sfeik sfeika? That's the shach's question. Yes, Dan?
Can't you just say he's operating within the Yesh Machmirim when he's writing this line? I mean, he says, V'yesh Machmirim b'shuman.
Yeah, but...
Nafilu, meaning that if you are those Yesh Machmirim, then you wind up not for us who's reading the...
The Rama quotes two days. L'fizeh, im nafal dina hachi, V'yesh Machmirim
b'shuman v'afil.
Okay, and then he says... he says, in the following cases, it's mutter... because there's a sfeik sfeika. So the question is, let's look at the shach's question and answer, because he sort of does take into account your consideration, but hold on. Nami dina, in other words, the question is for us. Since we would regard it as a suffeik, why do we say? Let's take a look. Now, read Dalit, Daniel.
Nami dina haki de pogin bavadai. V'hayesh machmirin shogrim d'din sheikhoi v'chomet yesh lau.
It might be no sintam l'shvach. And that's, by the way, a crucial point, maybe part of the question, which is that it's not that one shita holds, possibly, that it's v'aday no sintam l'shvach v'shuman. Why is shuman any better than chomet and sheikha, where it's only a suffix, whether it's no sintam l'shvach? Presumably, it's no worse a scenario than those. And that will answer your question. Right? Now, the Yesh Machmir, look at the Shach formulates. He doesn't say the Yesh Machmir holds that it's Vadai no Sin Tal Meshvach. He says, Yesh Machmirin, Sobrim, the Din Sheikha Bahomets Yeshla. What's the Din by Sheikha Bahomets? And Achmar and Sheikha Bahomets, what's the Din?
Lo Yadana.
Suffik, whether it's no Sin Tal Meshvach or Tal Meshvach. So the same thing by the Shuma. So the Shach asks,
V'chein Mavoim, V'yosim Tor Chata, Sov Tal Chafbet, V'im Kain, Tzarech Ian, V'divay Harav,
Okay. So this is a lot in this two lines. First, we have to explain what he says. Then we have to understand what he says.
You can't factor in a suffix if the Gemara was missing.
Right? Why not? First answer is, since the Gemara is missing, it doesn't count. Right, so you might, the Shach probably means that we're machriya, once it's a sfeika the din of the Gemara, what is potentially a isadaraisa, we're machriya that suffix. But these two other things are sfeikos that are unresolved. Okay, so that's what he means when he says, the high suffix you must be a hopogain lo have a suffix, kevan de bishas kupe mesapka lahu. So what's the problem with that? Well, it is true in the Gemara, but I would ask the following question. Who is Mesupak about the Shulman?
Us.
Right. It's not like the Dina of the Gemara.
The Dina of the Gemara is only going to say the Chomet from the Sheikh.
Correct. So for us, this is a suffix that was known la'achar zman. You can't say the Gemara, that once the Gemara raises it, then you're now Machriya. it's a suffix whether or not this falls into the category of Sheikha Bahamas. That's really what the suffix
is. But if it was Sheikha, then it would be Rabbi.
What's that?
It's only for Shulman you're talking.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. This the Prima Gadim doesn't like this. So he likes the second parents, the Chisaron Yediyah. Which is funny because that could have been the answer to why the Gemara suffix doesn't count. What?
Oh.
No, he's giving a second teretz.
The suffix is going on whether on the Gemara's question. Or
what is the suffix? No, it's going on his question.
Was it kabbalish for 24 hours?
The sfeik, his question is why does the Ramah, if he requires a sfeik sfeika, one suffix within the Kabisha should be enough combined with the suffix of whether it's no Sfeik Talmudkam. So the first answer is because the suffix of no Sfeik Talmudkam is not a real suffix because it's Sfeik at the Din in the Gemara. And the second, the suffix is only one suffix. Whereas in the Kavush case, it's actually two Sfeikos in the Metzias, let's say. You know, subsequent to the Gemara. But the Shach didn't say that you can't be Mitzari if it's Sfeik at the Din and a suffix in Metzias. That could have been a Teretz too. But that's something to be explored, hopefully, at some point. Okay, so what is this Chisaron Yediyah piece? We've seen this already. Yeah?
The suffix, the suffix in the Gemara is a suffix Yediyah piece. Right? They don't know
if it's proper or not. No, correct, but that's not, he's saying it with the right. So either way, but that's not what he's referring to. We explained already suffix Yediyah. If I don't know how to calculate the Shishim, that's not called a suffix. My ignorance does not... My ignorance in the field of knowledge and skills does not in itself constitute a suffix. A suffix in this particular case, lack of awareness of the metzias of what happened, might constitute like a nishvach, or not knowing what fell in. But if you don't know how to be mishar, that's a suffix in bekias. A suffix in yediyah is what he terms it here. Chesron yediyah, it's a lack of, not knowledge of what happened, but knowledge in the world, and that doesn't count. Yes,
so, okay, so I guess methodologically speaking, Anytime we invoke that a suffix in yediyah is not a real suffix,
right.
So that means that it's potentially resolvable, and all we're missing is the data,
or the intelligence to figure it out.
So those are two very different arguments. In other words, like if I let's say
I would say missing the data, I would say missing the intelligence or the skills.
In this particular case,
yes.
What kind of intelligence is necessary to take a survey of local populace and provide that?
If the island is a guideline, we can't rely upon them. I don't know what they're talking about.
Precisely. So we're saying that this is like an internally unresolvable.
I know.
If we're saying that it's sort of epistemologically unresolvable, that should result in it not really being a
suffix
yediyah.
I know. Look, so some of the cases of suffix yediyah. The question is, what if today nobody knows how to do it, like the summon piece? Right? Why don't you say every kesem is a suffix? Because maybe if you were mager on it, the shiva summon, it would be over. The answer is because a suffix in bekias is not a suffix. Right? But nobody knows how to do it today. So that whatever, we explore that a little bit. That's a difficult issue.
And it just seems like a circular move.
Yeah. Okay, Aston.
Maybe this is what you were saying before, but why is it a chisaron yediyah for the Shuman, but not in the Gemara's cases?
The Gemara's case. The Gemara's case is also only possibly one suffix. So even in Naniach, it was a suffix.
No, I know, but why? When you say we're machmir for the Gemara's cases,
when you only have a single suffix in Kavosh.
Is that because we don't think that
it's a single suffix.
No, but let's say you had a different suffix as well. You still wouldn't say Sveik in that case, but you'd say...
Maybe, I don't know.
Are I saying Lo Yadana per...
No, I don't know. I don't know that automatically we went to say Sveik, huh?
Why? Then why are you willing to say it's a Chisaron Yediyah?
I understand. The Shach might very well say, if you added a suffix to the Gemara's case, even if you're not going to say his first teretz, you'd say his second teretz. Yes, I agree. Yes, sir.
Just that
the chisaron b'yediyah
is a one.
A suffix in bekias does not constitute a suffix.
Okay.
Which usually means you don't know how to be Mavar, but somebody else can be Mavar. So that's not called a suffix.
I'm saying, in this case, the suffix, so which suffix of the two statements that the Shach proposes is a...
Whether or not Achbar and Shuman is the Shach of Gam.
So that's something which we in theory should be able to figure out, therefore.
Yep. Okay. Now, I think we read to the end. One last line. Okay, a couple more things in the Ramah. Go ahead. Okay. So this is an important principle in the service of God. It's a verse in the Book of Malachi. That if the Shuman is Ma'us Lechol, and that's independent, perhaps, of its halachic status, then you're not allowed to light it in shul. You can't use it for Neris Beis HaKnesses because it's apostolic to bring this to, as and use this in the service of God. It's disgusting. This is in Malachi, the Navi speaks about the fact that they would bring their worst animals, following the paths of Cain, right? They would bring their psilas, and God says, how dare you do that? Right, how dare you do that? Would you ever bring this to the satrap? Would he be appeased by you? Would he accept your presence and so on? Of course not. So how dare you do this to me? So you're not allowed to use this in the Beis HaKnesses for Neros. If it's ma'os that we wouldn't eat it, then you can't use it there either. Okay, and then...
Is this thing as being too ma'os to light it? Like, is there like a kind of oil that's so gross we don't use it for candles?
Yeah, like a child.
You have one Misha Rechora. But I think that the point is that even though you might use it at home, it's something that's not appropriate. It's like it's treif and it's got this disgusting stuff in it. So in your house you use it for light, but the use it Beis HaKnesses, it's not light. Not nice. It's not respectful. Okay, finally Vamakom. Okay. One second. So he says that b'makom hefseid gadol, you can be sameach upon those who say that only shechar and chometz are b'chal the safek, but shuman is not b'chal the safek, and it's no same time of time in the shuman. Yes, Yehuda.
Why is there Amra have so many chulot in Malkum Hesed Gadol? In other words, basically, almost every chumra that Amra has mentioned, is it doesn't apply Malkum Hesed Gadol.
Because it's only a chumra.
Okay.
So he's basically codifying it for typical practice, but saying it's not really the din, so...
So Hanan doesn't apply, this doesn't apply...
Hanan of Lach Balach.
Lach Balach. What chumra does?
What?
What chumra does apply in Malkum Hesed Gadol?
But Dabar Baluach. Davar Balua, which is the original case of Hanan, that applies to even Makom Hesed. Okay. One more. Go ahead. Okay, the Rama adds. Okay. Okay. All right, any questions about Simin Kachar? Yes. What? Yeah, Ira love, yes.
So then, how did the rat get into the fat? It was, meaning it was already congealed, but it's somehow just took, like, to...
It wasn't congealed.
I mean, it wasn't congealed, but it will be because we...
And even if it was congealed, when you pour the hot fat, it melts the stuff. And it falls on the rat.
Right, so, but if it's
And then we just need to know when the mouse wound up in the fat. Meaning when it wound up in the fat, how long was the fat solid with the mouse in it? How long was the fat liquid with the mouse in it?
When we say nara here, we're always talking about when it's hot?
Yeah, but it's hard to pour fat when it's not.
Right, but we're still saying that it can still be soft and not hot.
And not liquidy.
But it
will
be soft and not hot.
Well, I don't know if soft is the right word. It's for it to be rach doesn't mean soft as much as not solid.
So then can you pour it?
What?
Can you pour it, as long as it's not solid and it's not hot, you can still pour it?
Up until a certain point. I don't know. I don't deal with fat so much, so. Damn.
My chavrut and I came across this notion that a klisheni, the bliot and the pleitot, aren't considered halachically. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I will not talk about that until we finish the mikufei. That's what we're going to do now.
Oh, we're doing that next.
We're going to start reading the Torah, yes. Thank you. All right. So now we're going to move on to start the mikufei. I want to read through a little bit of the Torah. Okay, starting in Simit Samaches. Shlayan.
Yes.
You're the man.
Are we starting with
Yud? The Torah and Simon Samach. I don't know. I didn't. The Torah I was looking at did not have letters. Ein Mulligan.
Okay. Yeah.
So Yud. Vos is Maliga.
Maliga literally refers to removing feathers or hair done by scalding.
Feathers or hair done
by scalding.
Yes. So what you do is you pour hot water on the chicken, and the feathers come loose and off. Very effective, as opposed to having to, pluck one feather at a time. Nine out of ten birds surveyed prefer that you do maliga at once, as opposed to plucking every single feather.
Isn't it
awesome? This is a side point. You know, there's actually it's an important life lesson. It's a book I highly recommend for all people, including B'nai Torah, who should learn how to think more clearly, B'milei D'Alma, and it may have carry over to B'milei D'Shmaya as well, a book known as Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman, and he was a Nobel laureate, and I believe he tells the story, I think it was he, unless this was in a different of a similar genre. He was served in the army, the Israeli army, and he had suffered at some point some very significant burns, and he was hospitalized, and the nurses were wonderful, but they had to change the bandages every so often. And I think that's where he talks, this is where he talks about it. Maybe it's different, it's Dan Ariely. Sorry, it's probably Dan Ariely. What's the name of his book?
Which was more than one. Not Irrational.
Yeah, predictable irrationality, I think.
Oh, in Hebrew it's lo rationality, but
it's predictable irrationality, I think. I believe that's where it is. And it turns out they would pull the bandage off slowly because they didn't want to hurt him, but it may have turned out that actually doing the quick yank was actually much better. That's why I say I don't know which the birds prefer, to have the scalding water pulled over one shot to be defeathered or to pluck a feather at a time. I think there are machines that do pluck feathers, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, my understanding, I've never dealt with birds, we do maliga. We pour hot water. What we have to do, though, when we do maliga, obviously, we have a problem. What's our problem doing maliga? I mentioned this before in Shir.
The blood.
The dam. It hasn't been salted yet. But you can't salt it until you remove the feathers. You don't have access to the basar, sara of. And we, certainly our practice is we salt the position of the rush. You have to salt on both sides heavily. So on feathers, putting salt on the feathers does nothing. So you have to remove the feathers, but if you remove the feathers with hot water, then you're going to be a mevashal the dam betocho. So the discussion here is about Kli Rishon Kli Sheni centers around that issue. Yes. That seems to be excessive tzar balik chayim.
Not only pita, but also
us. Yeah, I think we would also. We would, and it might
raise. When you take a shower and your tap is too hot.
Okay, I would just say I'm not sure. I also could raise potentially Trefus questions. Yes, it'd be feathering it before. Yes, you have to look in Trefus by birds. There's an issue with Notza and how much notes is missing.
Really?
I believe so. So.
But meaning the whole issue of us worrying about what we cooked, wouldn't, hypothetically speaking, I understand.
Yes, I suppose.
If you cook Eber Menachai, is there also this?
Right, is that Dom? Is that Dom below? I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. Okay. I mean, Dam Menachai is usser, but what happens if you cook the cow's arm, you know?
But not enough to kill
it. Yeah, not to kill it and render whatever. I don't even want to think about it. So read Danny. Let's just defeather dead birds. Why are you molgim gedayim etlayim?
Because
you want to remove the hair. The hair from the hide. What's that? It means the kind where it's not worth it for you. It's more efficient this way. Right? Go ahead. Chelev obviously only applies to Gedayim Etlayim. The status of Chelev by Oaf is? There is no such thing as Chelev by Oaf, I think. And Chelev Chaya is Mutter. How do you decide what Chelev is by a Chaya? Well, if it were the same part in a Behema, if it would be Chelev, so it's Chelev Chaya, but the din is that Chelev Chaya is Mutter. How do you know that? Because the Torah says so. It says, Kol Chelev Shor V'Chesev Ha'iz Lo Sochelev. It doesn't say anything about Chaya. Okay, continue.
The Rashbam Itir La'arot Mikli Rishon Aleihem She'iruay Chashub
Kvishen. So any of you who are with me for Shabbos, it's a few of you, remember this probably, the Machlokas Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam, whether Iru Mikli Rishon is Kikli Rishon or Kikli Sheni. So the Torah quotes Rashbam, who says that Iru Mikli Rishon is only a Kli Sheni, and a Kli Sheni is not Mevashel. Therefore, it's not a problem if you pour from a Kli Rishon, says the Rashbam. Rabbeinu Tam
Asar.
Iru Mikli Rishon is Kikli Rishon. Umihu.
Umihu im ira alav daylo biklipat haor she inyom vashel elakidei klipa.
So if you poured hot water onto the bird and it got the feathers off, you have to remove a klipa, the outer part of the they have to basically not just skin the bird, but peel the bird. You have to peel the flesh of the bird to take out a elakidei klipa where the hot water was poured. Because it's not Iru Mikli Rishon is not Oser Kulo, it's not Mevashel Kulo, it's only Mevashel Aklipa, Yudi.
Would these, just general question for coming up, would all these halachot of Bishul, the same thing apply for Shabbat?
Yes, this is Machlokas, I believe, is by Shabbos, actually. I believe it's in a Tosus in Shabbos in Perek Kira, the third Perek, which deals with Bishul heavily. Liam?
We're only worried about the water cooking the klipa, just the klipa. Then, where's the order? Why is it cooking the chelim and the dam? It's only reaching the.
The dam is all over the bird. Damai varim. So there's blood in there.
It's not penetrating. I'm saying it's not penetrating a klipa.
Is there blood in the skin of the bird?
Right.
Yeah. Why not?
So that's presumably the cleavage which
you're
referring to.
And there's blood everywhere in the bird. So it only heats, cooks, whatever, the outer klipa. So whatever that is, you peel away. That's all. Kale?
So if you were to, let's say, roast a goat while it was alive, and then poured blood, this boiling water, you're clearly shown, you would not worry about the chela.
What? Say that again.
If you were to roast the goat.
Dead.
After dead, yes.
Oh, fine. I don't know why.
Sorry.
Who's
the If you were to roast the goat,
yes.
Then you pour boiling water over it, we wouldn't worry about the chelev, even though he's saying worry about the chelev in the case that we boil the whole thing.
We would certainly worry about the chelev. I have nothing to do with point that you roast the goat, right? You're saying, instead of doing malicha,
yes,
you roast a goat. So the halacha would be that the chelev inside
is also the goat.
Yes, and why?
Because
so you don't. It's not enough to peel around the chelev.
So now, if you remove the chelev before you roast it.
Roast it, then, well, that's probably mutter, I think. The dam just comes out.
The dam just comes out. So I'm saying in general, if you want, before you roast.
So that is one of the ways they talk about it earlier in the simon, but I didn't put it here. They discuss, though, how you have to do it and so on. Okay. Continue.
Okay. v'im rosha uf lamala shema ara alav az inside klipa lefi shehanotza megina alav.
Apparently, when you pour there on the feathers, it hits the feathers first, and it sort of loosens them, but it doesn't actually come in contact with the basar. Okay. Now, that, I don't, that, this line I don't care about. I could almost cut that line out. Now, Varashba. Yeah, Kli Sheni is not Mavashel, but that doesn't mean it doesn't cause absorptions. So what's that case? There are really two cases. One is you put the chelav haksalim on top of the basar, and right after shchita, we're afraid that the chelav is going to ooze on. Why? Because the body is still warm. That's not even klisheni warmth. That's much less than it. It's body temperature warmth. But nonetheless, we're choshesh for that. And the other example is the beis hashchita. We're going to talk about the knife and the beis hashchita. And the beis hashchita is considered cham, even though it's much less than klisheni.
So how does the Rashba suggestion work?
To be discussed. I want you to see the passage. We'll get to Unkofei. The Torah quotes the Rashba, and he doesn't agree with it. But it's complicated. Okay. Let's move to Siman Tzadi Aleph. What is Nikur? Removal of the Chelev and the Giran Osha. Nikur is to kind of hole after it. Okay. Search and destroy mission.
I watched it once.
Yes? Who was doing it, Asfardi?
Yeah, the Ray Elkin, who does the speech for the Imperial Elkin program. Yeah.
Got it. And did he leave the hindquarters intact when he was done?
He said he was going to be in Akka them later.
What's that?
He said he was going to, he wasn't going to Akka them in front of us. He, like, tore off some of the Thalen, but he was going to be full job later.
Ah, okay, so I'd love to have seen, you know, how intact it was. All right, Simon Sadi Aleph.
Okay, Basar Gvina Shemam Yuz Zebaze Lutarin. Ella shetarich lahadziach mekom nigiatan.
Fine. Hot, cold meat and cheese that touch one another, mutter, you have to just rinse them off.
Umutar lav suratam mepatat achat v'lo kaishinan shema yigiru zebaze.
Fine.
Katzav ba'al ha'itur. Shmamina kol mide de ba'i hadacha kigon b'sar heter tzonein b'k ara shel iser tzonein asur l'chatzchila. Dilma achil v'lo hadacha.
Okay.
V'davka basam rushal de lav orchei b'hadacha. Aval mide de orchei b'hadacha kigon b'sar chai k'chayotzei b'o shar l'chatzchila.
Okay.
The cheva de b'tzonein by hadacha tzarich lizaher shelo liga b'sar lach b'lechem. Because it's mustard and soft bread.
Right. Okay. You can't wash it. So you can't wash it, so you should try to prevent them touching one another. Hachi Isa.
Okay.
Well, no, it's on the thing. So, one of you asked me, I don't think this applies when you cut up challah and put it on the challah board, leave it on the challah board, or put it in a special basket for the bread. It means if you take bread onto your plate, or maybe onto the table next to you, so then there's a chashash, it comes in contact with the basar. But if you're talking about something that basically has been cut, but has been left separately, I don't think it's an issue. You
Also, this never applies to Rabi today, because no one would ever eat anything Rabi touched anything.
That's true. No, I agree, but it does apply at the table where you have cooked meat.
And
cheese, yes. Correct. Okay, now back to what we really want. That's a sideshow.
Alright,
1 second. So basar v'chalav rotchim that got mixed together, or even if the cold meat fell into hot milk, or cold milk fell into hot meat, everything is awesome. Meaning, that's called tata gavar. Right? We're going to learn this sugya. It should be on the Makara, I assume, already. Tata Gavar. right? When you have a hot falls into cold, cold falls into hot. It's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether ilagavar, tatagavar, which determines the character of the mixture. And right now we're talking about with liquid, so if it's hot, it's bishul. So everything would be us, sir.
And this is, again, notwithstanding shishim, or?
Assuming there's no shishim. Well, we have to talk about more, but in principle, yes, right? In other words, if hot meat had milk fall into on top of it, fall into it, but you had more than shishim, so it wouldn't be a problem. Okay, the whole point is that flavor will transfer from one to the other. If you poured cold milk on raw meat, let's say, for a moment, cold, so basically the milk would be kosher, and you make sure that no pieces of meat got into it, and the meat would also be kosher, just rinse it off. But if they were hot, then the meat absorbs some of the milk. Even if you don't have shishim, yes. If there's more than 1/16 milk, because it's stony, there's no flavor transfer, you can physically separate the two substances. Okay, go ahead.
So, aval, chalav rotech shenachal al basar tzonein, basar rotech shenachal al chalav tzonein, kolif ha basar v'hashar mutar.
Okay, so that's the din, that if the lower one is cold but the upper one is hot, it's not osa kulo, but you need kidei klipa. That's what the Gemara says. Sugim psachim.
Katav riva, tzarich sheyehe bo shishim kidei haklipa shene esri menet. Aval Rabbeinu Yitzchak katav she'in sarich v'chein yireh midirei ha-rambam. She'katav kolif ha-basar she'nogei abav ha-chalav ve'ochel ha-sha'ar. V'lo pireish be'chalav ma ya'aseh. Im kein rotzo lomar she'kulo mutar.
Right, so one second. So the Riva had said that when you have chalav, you need shishim, in the meat you have to remove the klipa. What about the chalav, the loose milk? So he says that you need shishim in the milk connected to klipa, or it's aser. So, but he says others disagree, and are assuming that the milk is not absorbing from the meat for whatever reason. Okay. Again, the Rambam says shekasav kolev habasa shenagei b'chelev of achalav ochal asher v'lo pirish b'chal mayase im kain. Go ahead.
Im kain rotzel omar shekulav mutarish.
How do you know that? Yeah, because if it was said, the Rambam would have said something. Okay, but im. Fine. Then umaliach.
Dino kiroteach. Below the gamrei lesser below. Ella kidei klipa lechov.
Okay, so if you have one of the, if you have two cold things, but one of them is maliach, and particularly we're going to see the iser is maliach, then it is mavlia in the heter kidei klipa, if they come in contact with one another. So the maliach is polate into the unsalted one, the tafel, but it's not bolea from the, in other words, the malicha works to get the flavor out of the food that it's in, into the other one. Okay? Hilkach.
Basar ugvina lachin hamluchin shenag uzevaze tzarich leklov shneihem mekom nigiatan. V'im habasar maliach v'hagvina tfeila habasar shari v'hadacha v'hagvina tzricha klipa. V'im hibcha? Hibcha.
Fine. Now, v'im.
V'im hein yveshin afilu im hein meluchin o lachin v'lo mechamat malicha sagi v'hadacha.
Okay, if they're dry, even if they're salted, or if they're moist, but not not machmas melicha, meaning not salted,
then hadacha is enough.
Okay.
Just,
fine. So this is the three shitas here. What is called maliach? Well, if you add a little salt into your chicken soup, that makes it maliach?
What's called maliach b'she'inu ne'echal machmas
melicha? The answer is it's not edible machmas melicha, but hold on, we're not done with that. So one shita means, one shita, as Rashi said, that you, when you want to be matzniya the meat, you want to basically preserve it, cure it, you know, for at least a short time. Eventually you have to rinse it off. That's called eino ne'echal machmas melicha. V'yei shomim.
V'yei shomim is a lot mikra eino ne'echal machmas melicha. Ella kigon ibud shemolchin otzar harbei l'tzar chaderech.
Call that beef jerky, okay, or very, very cured meats.
So why would we call that inu ne'echal machal al-machal? Because beef jerky is delicious.
Okay, so obviously it means then at some point you rinse the salt off or do something to render it edible. But what they would do is they would stick it in salt and we get really salty to preserve it for, you know, an extended period of time. But you can't eat it that way. The whole point is it needs the salt to preserve it, but you have to rinse it off in order to eat it.
I guess like the two foods so far be characterized as like it actually like fundamentally changes what the meat's going to...
I'm sorry?
I mean, beef jerky, I mean... that.
I didn't mean to be the dafka.
No, I mean, that's what we mentioned during Seder also. But like, I mean, the latter actually tastes different after the meat, after the salt.
Okay.
Rami, the time here is the chol melach shemolchim l'kdira mikre in le'achal machma. Aval ne'achal mechamat malcho lo hevekir otah.
Okay, so he says that any melech that mochem l'kadeira is called Einu Nechamach Mas Melcho. In other words, if you sounds like if you salt the pot, and I guess maybe initially when you salt it, it's too salty to eat, that's called melicha. Even though when it finishes cooking, it will be edible. So I think that's what it means. Aval nechamach mas milcho lo havik ratech. In other words, according the shitas here of what makes something considered maliach, the broader you expand the categories, that a chumrah or a kula. It's a chumrah.
The broader it's inu nechal is the more.
The more it's treated as maliach kirotech. Okay. Then v'dafka. Presumably that tzli here is hot tzli, falls into something, so we don't care whether or not the other one was salted. And you require klipa. The im. Okay, if there are cracks in the meat, there's a specific sugyan kolabasar, or spiced in a certain way, even without the cracks, and the meat is raw, so it's it is usur, because it absorbs the milk. The milk gets into the thing, you can't get it out. Okay, Matt. Ibut shemolchan oso harbin tzorach haderach. Rashi and then Rabbein Tam. Yeah. Yossi.
What is tefila?
Tefila? Unsalted.
What's like the... Is that for, what's the...
That's the... I don't know what they are, but that's the... Very funny, David. All right. Tomorrow... make sure to do the next tour and you can start the Mikolas and we will start moving towards doing Simon Kulhei.
I know, I'm joking.